Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm suspended. I'm technically not even a detective anymore. They said I was consistently reckless, inappropriate, and glib. Why can't you just hide me on the desk in here or something? Wouldn't even be doing any real work. I'd just be checking the websites I like.
You want your job back? I've got something that the sheriff wants you to drive to Miami.
The arm? That's all they found?
Nah, man, the head's in the passenger seat.
If you're too grouchy to answer the question, just say I'm too grouchy to answer the question. You have to hit me with the head in the passenger seat.
The widow, Eve Stripling, reported her husband missing. She needs the arm to bury it.
When did you learn Nick was missing?
I was in Paris. It was a birthday present from him. So are these.
Fancy.
You're like 10 grand.
Why are we whispering?
I don't know.
What if this wasn't an accident? I'm telling you, she was trying very hard to cry.
What are you doing? You're not a cop. Leave it alone.
I can't get involved in this.
You're the one that got me involved.
Or you want to stop being polite and start getting real?
Is that the intro to the real world?
In my defense, I thought you were too young to know that. Inspector Yancey, I have a few questions.
What time is it?
Just past bathrobe time, so you're still good.
Okay. I want a lot of immunity.
Well, how about just a normal amount of immunity?
No, it's got to be a lot.
Oh, that is a clip from Bad Monkey, available now on Apple TV+. Rory Cashin, entertainment and culture journalist, joins me on the line now to talk a little bit about that. Rory, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very, very good. I watched almost the full first episode of Bad Monkey last night, but it's all available there on Apple TV+.
Yes, the first two episodes are there now, and then we'll get new episodes every Wednesday going forward. It's a murder, mystery, comedy, thriller series, so it's kind of all of the genres put together. And it's Vince Vaughn in the lead role, and it's created by Bill Lawrence, who back in the day had Scrubs, which was like one of the biggest sitcoms of the noughties, and then has proved to be very, very popular with Apple TV Plus because he gave us Ted Lasso, which obviously has won lots of awards, and everyone seems to love that show. And then I think it was last year he gave us the first season of Shrinking, which was Harrison Ford's pretty much his first foray into TV properly, and also proved to be a massive hit. So yeah, he's on a bit of a run.
I haven't seen any of that Shrinking. Is that, did you see that one? Is that worth the watch?
Shrinking, the whole first season of Shrinking is on Apple TV Plus, and the second season's on the way. It's very funny. And it's also quite sad and poignant in places. It's just to do with a shrink who's having his own sort of midlife crisis / nervous breakdown. So if you haven't seen it, I would absolutely recommend that. Yeah.
Okay, that's definitely going on my list. Well, I really enjoyed it last night because it's such a colourful show. It's set in like, whatever, is it South Florida? And the only criticism I have on it, which is not much for the show, is that Vince Vaughn needs to lay off the hair dye.
Yeah, like I was trying to think like the last time we maybe as a collective might have seen Vince Vaughn headlining something. And the first thing that kind of came to mind was his season of True Detective, which was a while ago now.
Yeah.
And outside of that, people might remember him obviously from Old School and from Wedding Crashers. He had a big career in the mid-noughties, but it does feel like it's been a long time since we've seen him. And yeah, he's aged up a bit. But he kind of perfectly matches his character in this, who's someone who just really just wants to do his job and wants to keep his head down, but just keeps getting himself into trouble because he knows what the right thing to do is.
Yeah.
So he's in trouble with his police detective boss and ends up getting sort of demoted to become a restaurant inspector in South Florida. And South Florida itself, I think, is a part of America that you just don't really see on television or in movies. I think you'd see a lot of Miami,
yes,
or you'd see a lot of the theme parks, but it seems like this part of Florida, very southern Florida, is a part that we wouldn't really have seen too much of. And it looks beautiful, but it also is filled with some like fantastic characters for Vince Vaughn to bounce off.
Yeah, he does bring that kind of lovable, he is that lovable leading man. You want to like Vince Vaughn no matter what he's in.
Yes, and in this, he has that kind of rat-a-tat dialogue again, where he just keeps talking and talking and talking, kind of beating anyone else in the room into submission just with the amount of verbs and nouns he's throwing at them until he gets his way eventually.
Yeah.
But he is playing, it's a smart role for him as well, because he is an intelligent detective, with it, like, his heart's always in the right place. And unfortunately, that leads him down some like dark and dangerous avenues.
It does. So we're not going to give anything away from the first episode where something turns up out of nowhere.
Yes. Yeah, so it kind of reminded me a lot of, there's a classic movie called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. Mm-hmm. And you see these two parallel stories that initially look like they have absolutely no connection whatsoever. So in Vince Vaughn's version of the story, he just kind of discovers a body part, not to give anything away, but it happens quite early in the first episode. And he's trying to find out where the body part came from, who it belongs to, why no one has really come looking for it. And then parallel to that, there is another storyline taking place down in the Caribbean. And it looks like it's completely disconnected. Like none of the characters are even crossing over. But by the end of the second episode, which is available now, you see finally how they're going to crash and how they're going to clash together. And again, like those classic old detective stories, he's going to have to solve more than one mystery at a time. And it's really, really well paced out. And it has this really funny comic backbone behind it as well. So it's a very easy kind of laid back watch. It's not demanding your attention constantly.
I would put it in the dad TV bracket a little bit. It is definitely a dad TV thing. I really enjoyed it, but I like dad TV too. It's a good one. So it's called Bad Monkey and available on Apple TV Plus. The first two episodes are available to watch now. Next up is Emily in Paris, and we have a clip.
Oh my God, Mindy, do you know what I saw on my run? Hot men everywhere. I guess I've just been so focused on Gabrielle and Alfie that I forgot what it feels like to be single. Oh. And now that I'm not with either of them, I'm...
You're not with Alfie?
Kimmy's finally opened up a nice little path for you to be with Gabrielle.
The man that is still having a baby with a woman who's in love with another woman and I'm the only one that knows about it? Well, no relationship is perfect. Seriously?
That breakup is all over the internet.
You broadcast your entire life for public consumption, and now it's affecting my business.
Who could imagine things would balloon the way they did?
Fix this.
Alfie, we need to talk. Oh my God! Can we please just talk about what happened?
Just need some more time.
Wine. Great timing. Cheers.
Emily, you have interfered with me for the last time.
Accept responsibility for things, unlike you.
I'm so sick of the secrets.
So am I.
Oh, that's Emily in Paris, or should I say Sex and the City of Paris. It is so terrible. I love every single bit of it, Rory. First five episodes of series four are available now on Netflix.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to explain this to friends of mine because I know in my critical mind, this isn't a good show. Like, it's not... It's not like particularly well acted. It's not particularly well written. Obviously, it looks beautiful because everyone in it is beautiful and Paris is beautiful and the outfits are beautiful. So it's kind of lighting up the most basic primitive part of my brain that just is drawn to shiny things. And I can't explain why. But I love this show. I love it.
Yeah, I know. In case anybody hasn't seen any of the other, because this is series four, in case you haven't seen any of the other three series on Netflix, Emily, who is played by Lily Collins, she works in Paris and her love life is very, very complicated, also in Paris. And she's ultimately going to be forced to choose between the two men that she loves, who happen to be drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah, like again, everyone in this show might as well be like sci-fi because it doesn't feel like it's on this plane of reality whatsoever. Yeah. Like she flew from Chicago to take up a temporary social media job in this kind of PR agency that only get the biggest and best and brightest brands in the world to do huge launch events. And off the back of that, she's still here 4 years later because, as you mentioned, she has sort of simultaneously fallen in love with these two absolutely like drop dead gorgeous man, and she's like, oh, my life is so tough. I'm like, it's tough to feel bad for you, Emily, because it does seem like you have the best life ever. And you mentioned at the start there that it's Sex and the City of Paris. Like, this is like Darren Star's latest creation. He obviously created Sex and the City. Back in the day, he did Beverly Hills 90210. Oh. After that, he did Melrose Place. He's also behind And Just Like That, which is equally not good, but still weirdly watchable.
It's like numbing cream for your brain. That's, you know, when you just need to just tap out. Sometimes, some days I need to just tap out and I go, Emily in Paris is going to help me tap out.
Yeah, like I would never try to convert anyone who has given it a go and was like, no, that's not for me. But if you've never watched it, I would recommend watching some of it because, as you mentioned, it is, it's like chewing gum. It's like, it's like brain popcorn. It's there and it feels kind of guilt-free. It feels like it shouldn't be this enjoyable, but it's every aspect of it is just so tailored towards just pure joy and entertainment and optimism and upbeatness. And it you never feel bad watching anything. Like even as the drama in this one unfolds and she's to choose between the two men, and one of the men that she is really attracted to, has just discovered that he's having a baby with his ex-girlfriend who he might still be in love with, but she is bisexual and has another girlfriend who lives in Athens. It's this like soap opera to the max drama that written down, I know is bad, but I can't help
and yet
really, really love it.
If it's so wrong, why does it seem so good? Why does it feel so good, Rory? I don't know, but I feel the same way as you. People don't have to go back and watch series 1 to 3. You can just go straight into 4 and watch the series recap. You will have gotten 1 to 3 in about 1 minute and you'll be fine to go and watch this series. So that's Emily in Paris on Netflix. And then the next one that you've suggested is Fantasmas. And here is a clip, and I'm intrigued to hear what this clip is going to have.
Hi, hello. I'm Julio. I'm an Aquarius. I got struck by lightning when I was a child, and now I see the world a little differently, and I'm allergic to the color yellow.
90 seconds remaining.
Okay, I've been having this recurring dream where I'm in a room.
God, I love insurance and banks and the military.
I can feel the inner lives of shapes and colors and sounds and numbers.
Put your hands together for Q.
You're all gonna die!
And then I wake up.
That is Fantasmas, all 6 episodes available on Now or Sky Comedy. Now, Rory, I don't know what psychedelics you're taking, but I watched episode 1 last night and I just felt like I either haven't had enough to drink or I'm really ill and this is a fever dream. Because
I can appreciate both of those descriptions, to be fair. Tell me this. There was a recent Saturday Night Live sketch called Papyrus that Ryan Gosling was the star of. It became like a bit of a huge YouTube moment. It was became very viral. Did you see that by any chance?
No. If I'd seen that, would that have made all the difference to me with watching this last night?
Absolutely not. But just some of the listeners out there might have seen it. Like he did one as well called the Actress with Emma Stone, which again was another hugely popular SNL sketch. So this is how the show creator, Julio Torres, got his start. Mm-hmm. He did these very weird left-of-center SNL sketches that absolutely are not for everyone. But for the people who do enjoy them, they love them. Like it's their brand of comedy. And he's brought that over to this show, which is essentially him sort of playing himself. Mm. But as he mentioned in my clip there, he has the inner ability to see the inner lives of things that you wouldn't necessarily consider would have in their lives, like colors. Or you've seen the first episode. So Steve Buscemi plays the letter Q, who's trying to start a career as a musician, but is considered too weird because Q appears too early in the alphabet and should have been at the back of the alphabet with X, Y, and Z, where all the weirder letters live. I'm sure people listening right now are like, what is he talking about?
But the other one, I did laugh, but I was like, this is so weird. Where there's the sketch where he's in with Crayola and he's trying to get them to come up with a crayon for the color clear. It was all so mad. It was bonkers.
Or the sketch that's basically Alf, the 80s alien sitcom, but it turns on this weird version of Alf into what turned like almost an erotic thriller where like Oscar, I think Oscar nominee Paul Dano has fallen in love with the alien that's crash landed in his home and it's broken his family apart.
Yeah, he leaves his wife and his kids for the alien that crash landed into the house. It was very, very bizarre. You know, my husband was half watching it with me, but he was also loading the dishwasher and he's like, what the hell are you watching? I said, I'm glad you can see it too, because I really do think I need to take my temperature. I feel like this is definitely fever dream stuff. But you said it is not for everyone, but I can see that this also would have a massive audience too.
Yeah, like again, it's one of those things you have to give it a chance. You definitely need to watch the full first episode to get kind of, as you mentioned, it's kind of a good way of putting it, a temperature check to see if it's for you. And if it is, you're going to absolutely love it and you'll devour the whole thing because all six episodes are available now and each of them are pretty much under 30 minutes. So you'll have it all done in one evening if you wanted to. But I wouldn't maybe recommend unloading that much weirdness in one sitting because I don't think your brain chemistry would be right afterwards.
Definitely not. I think maybe one per evening would be the dose that I would recommend. It is called Fantasmas and it's available. All six episodes are available on Now or Sky Comedy. Rory Cashin, entertainment and culture journalist, thank you so much for putting those three my way. I watched, as I said, over the weekend and I enjoyed all three of them. Very different, though. But thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.